Oh, snap! Snap! Wake up, stand up, and snap out of it. Take the risk right out of it. Wake up, stand up, snap out of it. Change your mind, begin again. Just snap!
Oh, snap. Listen, you love your pet, and you want to feed them the best food for optimal health and peak performance, yes? And you want them to live with you as long as possible, yes? So how do you achieve that through food? There's so much information out there, and I will have to say in parentheses, bad information out there. So what's the truth? Well, tune in each week as Carmen Goudreau and I dispel the myths, misconceptions, and sometimes ridiculous information about pet nutrition. You're going to get the real answers to your questions here because this is the Raw Dog Food Truth. Hello, everybody. I'm your host, Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, author, motivational leadership speaker, and passionate advocate of healthy food, quotation, raw diet for dogs. And my fabulous co-host is raw dog food expert extraordinaire, Carmen Goudreau. Hello, Carmen. How are you today on this Tuesday?
I'm great, Dee Dee. Thanks. It's such a beautiful day.
You know, you're always great. You are always great. With a capital G, Carmen Goudreau. Listen, today we're going to be talking
Dee Dee.
About... No, you're welcome. Checks in the mail, right?
Yes.
Today we're going to be talking about digestibility. What is it and why does it matter in regards to your pet's health? And Carmen, you know, people write in and send us their questions because, like I said at the beginning of this show, that there's so much bad information out there and they get it from all different sources. So we're going to talk about digestibility and why it matters, but listen to this question that we received, Carmen. Here it is. During my last visit to my veterinarian, we discussed my dog's diet and feeding her a raw meat diet. The vet was concerned that a raw meat diet may not provide nutrients, vitamins, minerals that a dog needs and suggested I look into adding supplements to her diet. He also mentioned that a raw meat diet may not have enough calcium and he suggested I feed her kibble. So that leads me into digestibility and what you and I know is that the raw diet is the best thing in regards to digestibility for dogs. So how do you want to answer this question and then get into the digestibility? What's the best way to make it clear to our listeners why digestibility is important?
Well, digestibility is important. It's extremely important because it really will save your dog's kidney and liver and pancreas, okay? The digestibility, let's talk about kibble dog food first and its digestibility. Kibble dog food is all rated. Most people don't understand that there's a rating system to dog food, anywhere from economy to super premium. And in order to go from one grade to the next higher grade, the digestibility has to increase. In other words, that's the dog's ability to break the food down, make it pass into the blood, you know, go through the intestinal wall and pass into the bloodstream and feed the rest of the body the nutrients it needs. So your economy grade dog food, kibble dog food, is, in some of them, are only 45% digestible. So what does that mean? Well, that means, you know, that if it's only 45% digestible, first of all, your dog's body, kidney, liver, and pancreas have to work overtime to break this food down. And guess what? Of that, only 55% of it, 55% of it is not digestible, which means it's in the backyard that you have to pick up. It's just fillers, all right?
Mm-mm.
It's fillers, which means if you're wasting your money, even though it may be a cheap dog food, you're wasting your money. And that's what it tests at with the dogs that were in the sample testing. All right, so if you have a dog who doesn't have an older dog that doesn't have the optimum functioning of the kidney, liver, and pancreas because it's been on this terrible dog food all the time, it may not even be able to break down 45%. Body may only be able to break down, 25 to 35% of it. So you really are wasting your money. So your next level then goes from 45% to 55%. The next level higher in kibble dog food goes from that to 65, 75, and up. Now, let me give you a point of reference for digestibility. If you were to feed your dog raw eggs, that's all he got for a meal, you would have nothing come out the other end. Nothing. The dog utilizes that egg 100%. It's 100% digestible. You would have no poop to clean up. A raw egg. You would have no poop to clean up at all.
A lot of people are going to say, a raw egg? What about salmonella? Mm-hmm.
What about salmonella? Well, the average dog's stomach has got 3 times the amount of hydrochloric acid that our stomach has. And let me tell you, there's not much bacteria that lives through. E. coli or salmonella do not usually live through that high level of a hydrochloric acid. Okay? And if you're really concerned, if you don't believe this, then what you can also do is you can do what's called a hydrogen peroxide flush, where you take a 1 to 10 mix of water and hydrogen peroxide, and you can dip that raw egg in it. It's going to cook it a little bit on the outside, and then you can bring it back up with a sieve through that dip, and that hydrogen peroxide will kill your E. coli and your salmonella, and you can feed it to your dog. You can do the same thing with raw chicken and raw meat. You can dip it into a hydrogen peroxide water wash. All right? So the outside is not going to be as pleasant and as fresh looking, but if you're that concerned about those bacteria, that's one of the ways you can solve that problem.
But you've never been concerned about that bacteria. You've not done the hydrogen flush that much, have you, Carmen?
Nope. Never have. Never have.
We haven't either.
I've never had a dog get sick from E. coli or salmonella poisoning. And I've been, doing this for 26 years. So
right.
I've fed everything from beef to turkey to venison to elk to you name it. So fish, you name it.
So digestibility is really what we want to be looking at when we're thinking about feeding our dogs the healthiest food, not what is the most expensive kibble. That doesn't necessarily say that's the healthiest, right? Because we talk to a lot of people. Yeah.
Your best kibble, DD, that's out there is 94% digestible, and that's your super premium dog food. But it's still 94% digestible. Your kidneys and liver and pancreas still have to work a little overtime to break that down. But it's a lot easier on them than your economy grade dog foods that only are at the most a 45% digestibility.
Well, how do people know whether they're feeding a premium kibble or a medium grade kibble? How do they know that? Is price is indicating that?
Necessarily, most of the time price goes higher with the super premiums, but you really want to start reading ingredients. And your most important are your first five. So if you look at the first five ingredients on a bag of dog food and it says chicken, and I said chicken, not chicken meal, chicken liver, turkey, your first five ingredients are proteins, then you've got a super premium dog food. Now, to get the digestibility of that dog food, no manufacturer puts that on their dog food bags. They don't put it on there. So you have to call the 800 number that is required by law to be on every bag of dog food. You have to call that and ask for that particular formula's digestibility. Now, again, this digestibility is going to be from a test group of dogs that they scientifically fed the food to, and then, of course, did all the analysis of the poop afterwards to tell you what the digestibility was. So, but the most important thing is, no matter what, you have to watch your own dog's reaction to this food. And so you kind of have to analyze your own dog's poop all the time and see how it's going. And the way you can tell if this food works for your dog, there's no smell to the poop, no smell to the urine. Your dog, of course, must like it and enjoy eating it, all right? If there's smell, you know, a very strong smell to a dog's poop and pee, it means the kidneys and liver are working overtime to break this food down. Overtime. And as you can see, and I'm sure you've read the statistics on the increase in kidney disease in dogs and cats, especially starting at the age of 7, which is pretty young. Which means, guess what? Lifespan is decreasing if kidney disease is setting in at 7 years old.
So let's talk a little bit about the raw dog food and digestibility and why you would prefer to feed raw over kibble. Because, let's face it, Carmen, you and I know that it takes a little more effort to feed raw than it does to just scoop out some kibble. So why in the world would you go through meeting the truck like, you know, our clients meet us, and then we give them the raw food, and then you've got to unfreeze it, and you've got to do all of these things? Why would you do that?
Because for me, Dee Dee, I put so much training and you know, my life is my dogs. And when I put that much training and that much money into going to competitions and shows, I want my dogs, because they're my best friends, I want them to live as long and in most pain-free as they can. And I promise you, you will save in your vet bills just by feeding raw, just in your vet bills alone. Because my vets are like, well, I haven't seen you for a couple of years, and that's just because, well, I have to come in for my vaccinations. I can't help it. So, and I haven't had arthritis in any of my, no arthritis. No arthritis
you have big
in
dogs.
Any of my dogs. Yeah, I have big dogs. So I have Bouviers. So.
Now let me ask you this question, Carmen. You said that the premium kibble has 94% digestibility. How much, I mean, come on, 6%? 6%, is it that important to the kidneys and the liver?
Over the lifetime of a dog, yes, it can be. Because, Dee Dee, that is an average of what they fed a test group of dogs, this whatever food they were, you know, trying to analyze. It doesn't mean your dog's going to be able to break it down that easily. And that's why no matter what food you feed your dog, it's got to work for them. You've got to have small, compact poops. I mean, look, if you put a cup of kibble into a dog and then you're picking a cup out in the backyard, what did your dog actually utilize of that food? Whereas with raw meat, your enzymes are there. The enzymes are live. They haven't been cooked dead, all right? Any temperature over 115 degrees Fahrenheit kills your enzymes. So your dog's pancreas right there doesn't have to always be churning out enzymes to break down the food. Your kidneys and liver are not working overtime because the chemical bonds in a cooked food are totally different in the chemical bonds of a raw food. And so your dog's kidneys and liver don't have to, again, work overtime. You have no stinky poops. You have no terrible urine, you know, that smells really bad. So doing is this is insurance in that your dog's internal organs which is then, of course, will then show on the outside by a great coat and skin, no problems. It gives them longevity without suffering and pain.
Absolutely.
In other words,
well, this is the...
in other words, nutritional deficiencies.
Right, right. Well, this is the Raw Dog Food Truth radio show. And if you have a question for Carmen, you can call in at 657-383-1511. Or you can join us in our chat room like Tina Olson is today. And Carmen, she does have a question about digestibility and pregnant bitches and whelping. So she wants to know, what is the best protein for them? You know, we've had a lot of questions come up recently about the calcium also. So that's another aspect I want to ask you about in regards to pregnant bitches and calcium, when that should be taken away. But so what's the best protein for our pregnant dogs?
Protein is protein, Dee Dee. And so whether your dog is pregnant or is not, you want to rotate your protein through that bitch. And I don't care what proteins you use, whether it's fish or lamb or chicken or beef or pork, it doesn't matter. Now, the most important thing is that you have to understand what you're feeding as far as where your dog is going to be getting their calcium. Where are they going to be getting their B vitamins from? Where are they going to be getting their D vitamins from? Okay? These things, you have to understand that. All right, let's take beef, for example. Beef is easy, and then we'll go to one of the other proteins. As far as calcium is concerned, a cow's muscle meat, just the muscle, has more calcium, enough calcium in it for a pregnant bitch. All right, just the muscle meat. But it doesn't have enough of the B vitamins. So where do we get that from? We get it from the liver, okay? What about essential fatty acids? Well, your muscle meat, of course, has the omega-6. Everybody knows omega-6s are high in muscle meats. But you also need omega-3. You need omega-9 and 7. So where do we get that from? We get it from the tripe, okay? And you get your D vitamin from your liver. So that's why using a combination of organ meats and muscle meats are so important to get your calcium, your B vitamins, your D vitamins, your E. It's all there. Now let's go to a different protein. All right, let's do fish. Well, fish is perfect for calcium. Guess why? You feed the whole fish to the dog and he eats the bones also. Perfect combination. The bones in a fish are perfect combination and ratio of calcium to magnesium to phosphorus, which is what you need to build new bones for the puppies and maintain
now, what
the bitch has.
What is there any difference between mackerel and sardines, in your opinion, in regards to the fish?
Well, the taste.
Okay.
No, it's you should be feeding by weight. So whether you're feeding a mackerel or you're feeding sardines, you just put that amount of weight in the bowl. And so the weight, of course, depends on what stage of life the dog is in, whether it's a puppy, adult, or a senior dog. And that, then, of course, then you're feeding it a different percentage of body weight. And so it doesn't matter whether you're feeding mackerel or sardines. It's the weight of the amount that the dog's getting that day or that meal that counts. So
does it matter?
Chicken.
Chicken's
the same way. Go ahead, Dee Dee.
One of the questions is there a limit on how much mackerel or sardines that you want to feed in a given week? Or, again, are we just going by weight?
Well, all right. Let's take an example. This is where we can get into what we call regional feeding. And regional feeding is, where did this dog come from? Portuguese water dog. They came from Portugal. And what do? They're on fishing boats. So they eat fish all the time. But if your dog isn't used to eating fish, two to three meals at the most is all you really need in order to, I mean, that, you know, everybody knows fish is just chock full of omega-3s. So you really only need 2 to 3 meals a week of fish for your dog to get those omega-3s. And, of course, it's naturally high in calcium, magnesium, and phosphorus because the dog's eating the bone. So you, and, of course, everything, you know, as far as the liver and things like that, fish have what they need. That's probably the most cool thing about feeding fish is you just give them the whole fish. And they eat it.
Got it. Now, I want to go back to what you said. You said, in your raw diet, you want to make sure that you have the organ, muscle, meat, bone ratio. And I want to remind everybody at rawdogfood.com, you can go there, take a look at our blends. Oh, and the tripe, the stinky tripe that Carmen and I love. The stinkier, the better. We have a bunch of blends that have, well, you know, most of our blends are already have these correct ratios. Take a look at the ones that have the tripe in them. And you can also feed the green tripe by itself. We also have sardines. We have mackerels. So go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com and take a look. Carmen, tell me a little bit about, is there a time when your pregnant bitch needs to stop taking in calcium? I've heard that a week before she delivers, you want to take that away, and then give it back. I'm not sure that I really am clear on
that. The reason they say that, Dee Dee, is because they're trying to prevent eclampsia in a pregnant bitch. In other words, that's too high of a calcium. But if you're feeding the right ratio to begin with, I've never, in my dogs that I've had that were pregnant and delivered eating raw, I've never taken it away. I've never had any problems with it. I never have. I've never taken the calcium away from them a week before they deliver.
Gotcha. What would cause them to have too much calcium?
Well, it's an imbalance of magnesium because magnesium and calcium work together. Calcium makes the muscles contract. Magnesium relaxes the muscles. So if you don't have the correct balance of calcium magnesium, you have dogs that have spasms, muscle spasms. You'll see them standing there just shaking for no reason, you know, that they're not afraid or anything like that. And so that's what they're worried about in the pregnant bitch. If it's too high of a calcium, they're worried about eclampsia, and then they're also worried that the calcium being passed through the placenta to the puppies is too high and that they're going to have problems during the delivery. But I've never had that problem, because if you have the correct calcium-magnesium ratio, that shouldn't be an issue.
And if
and
you're
bone,
feeding,
guess what? If you have bone dog's diet, bone is the correct ratios of calcium, magnesium, and phosphorus.
Got it. So the raw diet, the prey model, which is 10% bone, that would provide the right amount of calcium.
It's not just calcium
correct.
You need to worry about. It's calcium, magnesium, phosphorus ratio.
Got it. So
okay.
when a vet might suggest, because this is the only person that I know that does suggest this, that a raw diet is not balanced, they would be wrong about that. If we have the organ, the muscle, meat, and the bone in the blend. That is a quote-unquote balanced prey model diet. Am I correct in saying that?
That is a balanced prey model diet, Dee Dee, but veterinarians, the normal veterinarian with just a DVM after their name, has the same education in nutrition as they give girls or anybody that takes a home ec class in eighth grade. And so...
Oh my.
Those vets are looking at there's no carbohydrates in their eyes in that food. But dogs don't need the carbohydrate, all right? They don't ever, ever produce cellulase, which breaks down cellulose, which is in all fruits and vegetables. That's the coating. That's what keeps the fruits and vegetables together. They only produce a finite amount of amylase, which the enzyme that breaks down carbohydrates, like peas, corn, wheat, you know. And by the time a female dog is 6 years old, the production of amylase decreases by 80%. For male dogs, for some reason, they have stronger production of amylase. It doesn't decrease by 80% till they're 8 years old. And these are averages. You have to remember that. You know, there's all the other conditions that are out there, like pancreatic insufficiency syndrome, that they don't produce enzymes very well at all. So we're talking about averages on these percentages here. So, you know, feeding your dog, you know, whether it's the grains, whether it's the carbohydrates, like they're going to tapioca and pea and all these others to get away from the grains, those are still carbohydrates. And that's what the vets are looking at. They're looking at, well, there's no starches to give them quick, fast energy. But that's not where dogs get quick, fast energy from. And feeding a raw diet is perfect for giving them the quick, fast energy from fat and then the long-term energy from the protein. So you get a dog with tons of stamina, but not the peaks and valleys that come from feeding carbohydrates like grains, fruits and vegetables, pea fiber, tapioca. Those break down into simple sugars the second they hit the dog's stomach. And guess what else we have such a high increase of now? We have a high increase of diabetes in dogs. Diabetes from feeding high carbohydrate diets.
Another thing that I've seen lately, just in the last two people I've spoken to about what they're feeding, they have underweight dogs. They believe and they have heard that potatoes or sweet potatoes added into either their kibble or some other form of food is good for them to gain weight. Now, I would not agree with that. I would not agree that the potato or the sweet potato is a good way to put on weight of your dog. So tell me what you think about that, Carmen.
Well, first of all, if you look at the average size sweet potato and how many calories it has, just look at the caloric content of a sweet potato as opposed to the same quantity of meat. And I don't care whether it's chicken or beef or duck, it doesn't matter, or lamb. That's one of the ways you can tell whether a dog food is good or bad, by the number of calories per cup. Poor dog food's only 250 to 300 calories a cup. Good kibbled dog food is in the 500 calories per cup. So guess what? A cup of ground beef, how many calories are in that? 535 calories in a cup of ground beef. So in a cup of sweet potatoes, how many calories are in that? If you add butter, maybe you've got, 150 calories. So just right there, look at the difference between 535 calories in a cup of ground beef as opposed to 150 if you put butter on the sweet potato. You're going to gain more weight using a meat protein diet with natural fat occurring in the meat tissues than you're ever going to get from feeding vegetables. Now, if you have a very, very, laid back, low activity type dog, if you feed enough sweet potatoes, you'll get a dog that gains weight, but it'll all be fat. It won't be muscle. You don't make muscle out of carbohydrates. You make muscle out of protein. So it's their choice if that's the kind of condition they want their dog in to feed sweet potatoes. They'll get, if you feed enough of them,
Yeah. Yeah. It, but still, we're adding something into their diet that they're not able to digest.
No.
As well as they should, and that is the carbohydrates, correct?
Right. But the, that carbohydrate, DD, is going to hit the dog's stomach. It's going to turn into simple sugars within a half an hour. It's just like giving a child, a baby, a ton of candy. You get this sugar high, and I mean a sugar high, with the behavioral problems that go along with it, instead of a nice, even-keeled, tempered dog who is ready and up for doing anything but can settle down instantly. Goes into behavior also, Dee Dee. What they eat can make a difference in their behavior also. But most importantly, the longevity of the dog's life, saving their pancreas, their liver, and their kidneys. That's, to me, the utmost.
Right. Well, I'm going to ask you one more question, and then we're going to be out of time. But I do want to let everybody know that if you have questions that you would like to have answered by Carmen, you can email us at orders@rawdogfoodandcompany.com, or you can always call in on Tuesdays at 657-383-1511. And you can go to our website, rawdogfoodandcompany.com. Carmen, I want to ask you, can dogs get addicted to kibble food?
Sure. It's a sugar high, Dee Dee. It's just like we get addicted to sugar highs. Dogs do too. The same things that attract dogs to food attract people to food. High sugar content and high fat content. And high salt, but most dog foods don't add sodium to a dog's dog food. So dogs, of course, are very attracted by fat and sugar. And, of course, anything with a high carbohydrate count is a sugar to a dog. But
so
the behavior goes along
a dog,
with it.
Right, right. They start acting out just like little kids. And I was just talking to Carrie Solberg, who is the owner of Canine State of Mind, and it's a training and behavioral boarding facility. And she sells our food inside of her facility there in Parker. And she was saying, you know, food matters when we're talking about behavior modification. They say the exact same things. They can tell when these dogs act up that there's something going on with their food. And Tiffany, who also works with her, has a couple of Rotties. And she was talking about how she had I don't want to say rotten Rottie, but she had a sort of acting out Rottie. And then she said, I saw a dramatic change in his personality when she switched him over to raw. So again, food does matter, and digestibility matters if we want to give our pets the best food for optimal health, peak performance, and we want to keep them around longer. But just because I wanted to ask that question, because I think that some people get confused and they say, well, my dog loves this kibble, and I want to say, he may love it, but listen, I was an alcoholic for 24 years, Carmen. I loved to drink, obviously. Right, right. 24 years has been, you know, I snapped out of it, you know, 10 years ago now. But I loved it, or else I wouldn't have done it. But I was addicted to it. I was seriously, you know, had an alcohol addiction. Dogs have an addiction to kibble. Does not mean it's good for them. So parents, wake
right.
up, stand up, and snap out of it. Right, Carmen?
That's right. For more than one reason, though, for many reasons, for their health and longevity.
Right, right. Well, all right, everybody. This is the Raw Dog Food Truth. We are so glad that you joined us today. We hope that we are making sense, are helping you make sense of what is going on out there in the dog food world. But remember, what Carmen and I always say. What do we say, Carmen? We say friends. Don't let
friends. Let friends feed dog food.
Kibble.
Kibble.
Right? All right, everybody. Thank you so much, and we will see you next week. Contact us at rawdogfoodandcompany.com. Oh, before we go, I do want to say hi to Karen Bodecker out there in Longmont area. She listens to us, Carmen, so we want to say hi to her. All right, Carmen, have a good week. I'll see you soon.
Thanks, Dee Dee. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.